Welcome to Google Ads Unleashed, the podcast that helps you harness the power of Google Ads to increase sales for your online business. In an ever-changing Google Ads landscape, we uncover the latest strategies, techniques, and best practices for creating effective ad campaigns that deliver real results. And now your host, Jeremy Young.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Google Ads Unleashed. It's a little bit early in the morning, but I thought at the moment would be a very good time to record a podcast because I've been up early and I've been working early. And this morning in particular, I've been working on an audit. So obviously auditing Google Ads accounts is our bread and butter. I'd like to think that probably over the years, I've seen hundreds, if not maybe over 1,000 easily Google Ads accounts from all verticals. And I very often see the same problems. Now, I've already done an episode about sort of the most common issues that I see in Google Ads accounts. But I think in this episode, it might be quite handy to sort of let you in my thought process on how to systematically audit any of your Google Ads accounts, right? So let's dive right in. So I look at four things when I audit Google Ads accounts, okay? First of all, the conversion tracking, yeah? Because this is the absolute fundamental of your Google Ads account. Without Google Ads, without tracking, you can't make any decisions. Regardless of how good in-platform tracking realistically is, if you don't have any tracking, then of course you can't base any decisions on anything. So this is just a part that needs to be nailed down. The second thing that I look at is whether audiences are integrated into Google Ads. So with that, I mean, are we syncing, for instance, purchases? Do we have, customer match lists? All that sort of stuff that enables us to do fancy stuff with the Google Ads account. The third thing that I look at is feed quality, which arguably is probably one of the most important things, especially for e-commerce businesses. And the fourth bit is sort of the general media buying. With that, I mean account structure. With that, I mean how the ads look like. With that, I mean how is the work within the Google Ads account, etc., etc. And then sort of a fifth optional point, which I sometimes chuck on top, so this is more like a bonus, is I go beyond the Google Ads account. What else is there, right? Sort of calculate through macro numbers of the business, if I have that data. I look at sort of customer journeys. I look at a ton of stuff, okay? So yeah, let's dive right in. So the first thing that I look at is Google Ads tracking. So I look at the tracking and really give that a thorough check from top to bottom. Why do I do that? Because very often people already fail at the first hurdle, right? It depends on the business, but generally speaking for e-commerce businesses, of course, you will want to track conversions, of course, like purchases. But you will also want to look at, are there any other softer conversions which are not being tracked, right? So things like add to carts or begin checkouts, because Google gathers all of this data and can model the entire funnel for the person based on this data. So it's a really good idea to track that and to keep track of those softer conversions as well. Do we have a backup, right? Do we track not only through website tracking, but do we track through GA4 as well? Is GA4 connected? I wouldn't by default use GA4. That is not very common. But, if something's wrong with your website tracking, then you always at least have something in the backup, in the background running as a backup, okay? So that's something that I would look at. I would look at now, especially in light of consent mode version 2, whether that's properly implemented, right? Is there any opportunity to expand the tracking, for instance, through server-side tracking? That being something that I would look at. I would look at it if in-house conversions are configured, all that sort of stuff. Then I go a little bit maybe beyond that for certain Google Ads accounts. So if I do order, if I do happen to audit a non e-commerce, so lead gen account, I might look at offline conversion tracking. Is that in there, right? Because without offline conversion tracking, that was the point of realistically properly running Google Ads for lead gen business, etc., etc. So these are the sort of the things that I look at, because that those fundamentals need to be correct. Something I may look at as well as duplicate conversions, classic, right? That several conversion actions are set to primary. Yeah, stuff like that. It's just the basis of making any decisions, and it's super, super important to nail those fundamentals. Then the second thing that I look at is audiences. Why is that an important point? Well, especially from a certain spend threshold, well, when this becomes available, it's just something that can really inform the bidding of your Google Ads account. By default, there's a setting in your Google Ads account that uses customer match lists as a signal to optimize your bidding strategies, and so it should. If you upload a list of your ideal purchases, of all of your purchases, for instance, then Google looks at this list and goes away and finds people like on that list. So really helpful to have that implemented. If you don't find a way to systematically and automatically do that, don't upload it via CSV file if you can avoid it. Use something like Klaviyo or use something like Zapier to just automatically integrate customer lists. And why is it important to have customer lists beyond that? For many businesses, it's important to save costs. For many businesses, it's important to, in their acquisition strategy, to focus on new customers only. So you can exclude new customer or existing customers from all of your bidding, for instance, by uploading lists, right? So it's just a really helpful tool to have. Right, the third thing that I look at is feed quality. Of course, this is not important for lead gen businesses, but for e-commerce businesses, this might be one of the most vital parts. And I just look at the entire feed, right? First of all, product titles, are those optimized? I look at maybe all of the search terms that have converted in the Google Ads account. Are any of the titles even remotely looking like this? Recently, I audited a Google Ads account of a business that sells lamps, and they had fancy names like IKEA for their lamps. This has happened a couple of times, by the way. I had a furniture business once that done exactly the same. But the lamps were really cool. They were like sort of a Bauhaus style, industrial, modern, luxury lamps, cost a bomb, right? Nothing of that was in the title. So that's one of the first things that we've done. We've actually started to work with them, is to systematically adjust those titles. So really important that you do that. Really important that you look at that. Then, of course, all of the other feed details, you know, color, from Google product category to colors to size to description to absolutely everything needs to be filled out. The more information you give Google, the better Google can match the correct searches to your product, right? So give that as much, give it as much as you can. Don't try and save time in this step. It's literally one of the most important parts of your entire Google Ads setup. So yeah, really, really important. Also look at other stuff beyond that, right? So look at things like, is everything enabled in Merchant Center? The number of times I go into a Merchant Center and dynamic remarketing isn't enabled. If I had a pound, it fell every time I've seen that. Is there a review feed? Is there an offer feed? Is there anything else? The thing is, by just not even doing those basics, you will just miss out on a lot of conversion volume. So these are the things that I look at in the third step. Then in the last step, I look at sort of the general setup of the Google Ads account. And I look at the media buying and strategy part. So I'll start first with the sort of setup kind of part of things. What do I mean by setup? I mean by that in terms of the settings of the account and of the campaigns. Is everything correct there? Certain examples I would be looking at is are automatically applied recommendations turned off. We don't really want to have those enabled because they produce a lot of gibberish. So turn stuff like that off, or are automatically created ad extensions turned off because Google, again, creates a lot of gibberish and you just want to have more control about what ad assets are actually playing out. Are ad assets in the account at all? Is it structured nicely? If you just have one website, then they should just go at account level and a couple of campaign and ad group level, depending on where it, you know, obviously where it fits. Often what I see is just chaos in the ad account. No cleanliness. Cleanliness is the success, recipe to success, because if your ad account setup is clean, then you can actually sort of analyze everything a lot better. Other things I look at is negative keyword lists. You know, do you have lists, or is it just a total chaos of campaign level negatives on 15 different campaigns? Stuff like that. Is a brand excluded from prospecting campaigns? Are the settings for the location correct? As in, sometimes people choose the default setting of Google. People in or interested in your location, other than people who are just in your location. Is the display network, excluded from search and other placements, stuff like that. So just look at all the settings that could be wasteful, make a list of those and, send them over as recommendations. Then, another thing that we look at is then, generally speaking, where has there been waste? Yeah. So we'll go in simple all time view and again, go through a lot of default reports to just find where money's been bleeding. Is it any time of the day that just simply doesn't convert? Is it a day of the week that doesn't convert? Is there any commonalities in the search terms, which have never been excluded but don't convert? Because that's a mistake a lot of people make. They just don't look, they only look at one single search term, but then they don't realize that every search term that just contained a word snippet, such as why, how, or something like that, has never even converted. Although it may have converted on certain occasions, generally throughout the bank, throughout all of those why, what searches, it would have never converted. So things like that, you just have to spot the patterns and then sort of apply them, right? Have certain locations not converted? Have certain products not converted? So something I often see is people have one PMAX campaign with a catch-all, and then if you drill down on product level, there's, you know, what 10% of the products make a profit, 10% of the products have spent hundreds if not thousands without significant returns, and the last 80% have never run, right? So this is sort of a common situation, and that's just a massive opportunity to really sort of diversify in that area. Then there are things that we look at, like ads. You know, do the ads look nice? You don't have to have all of the headlines and descriptions, but it's good to, you know, not just have three. And it's good to at least make an effort in the ads a little bit. Stuff like that is what we look at, provide some recommendations. Also, some missed opportunities. A certain, you know, campaign types are not even being used. I did an audit a couple of months ago where they've not even given PMAX a trial. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily bad, because PMAX can be rubbish as well, but give it a crack, right? Test. That's kind of what I want to get to. Then the last thing that I look at, if I have that data, oftentimes I don't have that data yet because I do the audit without all of that kind of knowledge, if that makes sense. I look at the entire customer journey. Okay, what do I mean by that? is I look at, for instance, competition. So I start at the search. So I identify a couple of searches which I think are relevant for the Google Ads account. And then I start my search. And then I look at what our competitors doing. Are they, you know, if I see, for instance, hey, you know, they've got one massive competitor, and that one competitor is half the price and does, you know, and their website is a million times better. That's important piece. That's important for the audit, right? You're never going to compete. You can be the best Google Ads guy there is. If it fails at the product and site, you're screwed, right? Like you can't out-market yourself out of a rubbish product or site. So this is something that's really important and oftentimes a wake-up call for brands to really look at this sort of side of the business. Then another thing that I look at is the product page then itself. Are vital things missing that people might be searching for on that page, right? Does the page handle typical purchase objections well? So for instance, something I very often ask when I'm in a call with a brand is, why wouldn't someone buy this, right? What are the core sort of objections that you're trying to overcome? What are the core reasons people buy this product? So sometimes you are unsure, like I had a watch brand a couple of weeks ago who sort of were trying to market this product to a male sort of niche. It's a niche of males. And as it turns out, half of their product, half of their purchases were actually female. And one third of all purchases bought this product as a gift, right? The product page didn't reflect that whatsoever, right? The product page was all pandering towards sort of, oh, look how cool this watch is, your masculinity will be amazing and so on. But that's not the audience, right? So it also informs what kind of searches need to go into the titles of the products if that's what people buy it for. So you get my gist now. I sort of look at the entire funnel and make notes of where improvements can be made systematically based on the channel. And then beyond that, I sometimes might give some recommendations as well, as in how I would grow the school ads account, where the opportunities lie. Because the truth is that there's just natural barriers in Google Ads. You can't just linearly or exponentially grow a Google Ads account. You have to find new products. You have to conquer new markets. You have to do more meta and generate more awareness, etc., etc. So lots of moving parts there. Yeah, so that's kind of how I approach audits. I thought it'd be interesting to share my sort of train of thought with you guys, as always. And if you are interested in an audit, if you think, shit, a lot of what Jer said, I'm not really that sort of clued up on, or I've not done that, or I think there's a ton of opportunity, just reach out. That's what I'm there for. Jeremy@younganddigital.marketing. It's in the description as well. You can also go to the website and leave an inquiry, younganddigital.marketing. Or you can just message me on Instagram or Twitter, X now, or Facebook or LinkedIn. So you'll find me under Jeremy Young under Twitter and LinkedIn, and you'll find me under Google Ads Unleashed or Young Digital on Instagram and Facebook. Brilliant. That was it. Audits. Thank you very much, guys. And looking forward to seeing you in the next episode next week. Ciao.
Thank you for listening to Google Ads Unleashed. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. If you found value in today's podcast, please share it with others and leave a rating and a review. For more information or to connect with Jeremy, check him out online at www.younganddigital.marketing. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.